You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where you look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:30am. Nice early start. Set those alarm clocks. Darren Owen, Ross Brierley and John Babb, the team in the studio. It's Lingfield, Ludlow and Newbury on Wednesday afternoon. Kempton in the evening as well, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm pretty good, yes.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm Mark, yeah.
Good. All set for Christmas?
Yeah, really looking forward to it this year. Means more to me, perhaps, because obviously having a baby son 8 months ago, it'll be first Christmas.
Yeah.
It'll be our first Christmas with him. And we've put our Christmas tree up a lot earlier. We've even gone down the tacky Christmas lights and all the trimmings outside as well.
Oh.
We'd never thought that we'd ever do. But we've got one of those revolving snow machines that shines perpetual snow onto your house.
Wow.
We've also got a big luminous stag's head on the front. So we're getting into sort of National Lampoon vacation territory.
Good.
Chevy Chase.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah, got to do it, didn't you?
Yeah, I like it, nice.
Yeah, so we're proper tacky, yeah, tacky neighbours.
Good, good. Obviously, the day after Christmas Day is the big day in the racing world. We've got the King George as the star on top of the tree, if you like. And this year's renewal, Mike Bite Long being the favourite, is 5-4 at the top of the betting now. Bristol DeMay is 7-2. Fox Norton 6-1 with Thistle Crack. Whisper is 10s. 14s for Disco, who news is that he's going to come over to Kempton, which is makes it an interesting angle on the race. And then 16s or bigger for the rest. You obviously spend a lot of time on Irish figures and Irish runners. Think Disco can play a part on Boxing Day?
Yeah, I mean, his figures actually compare quite favourably to even the likes of Mike Bright and Bristol DeMay. Over 2.5 miles, this is, of course. He's yet to prove that he can run that fast over further.
Yep.
Whereas the other horses who've done their numbers, like Bristol DeMay at Haydock and Mike Bright at Kempton and at Cheltenham, they've done it over the distance, so they're going to be running over in the King George. So I think that levels the playing field out. That said, I think Disco adds extra spice to the race. You know, the more quality horses we can have in a grade one, the better, in a sort of like time when we do get small field grade ones. He's an Irish runner as well. That'll add a little bit of lustre to it as well, because we're going to lose quite a lot of the Irish contingent. Sergeant John doesn't go, of course. Jackadam won't run. Road to Respect, I think, is going to run in the old Lexus. So he might be the only representative from the Emerald Isle. But he's a quality horse, and he adds more than just an extra dimension quality-wise into it, because he's another confirmed front-runner. Mm. And that wouldn't really necessarily be pleasing the likes of Nigel Twist and Davis and Nicky Henderson, who have also got two front-runners in Mike Bite and Bristol DeMay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after all this, we could end up with a bit of a burn-up up front, couldn't we? And then see what happens behind, I suppose.
Well, I think the good thing for Mike Bite fans is that there looks to be a little bit of an extra dimension to him, because if you remember the first time out at Sandown, the thought process was that he would make the running like he did in the RSA and when he did at Aintree. But they just held him up, didn't they, for the first circuit, and they dropped him in, almost to say, well, okay, you've got to learn to settle. It's not all about doing it on one lung of air all the way through. And he seemed to be very compliant to that. And then they sent him on the final circuit and really put the foot down. So they might, if need be, early doors, if there is competition for the lead, take a chance and just say, okay, if you want to crack on and go a real good searching pace, we'll just sit in behind. So I think that's a positive in his direction.
Yeah, we've seen him be wayward in the closing stages when maybe he's running out of gas a little bit. If they can get Mike Bite to settle and then come off the pace, that's a frightening prospect, isn't it?
Well, we know he's got a huge engine to run very fast for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of, yes, that hill and the noise and the running into that funnel of euphoria at Cheltenham, euphonic sound at Cheltenham, that kind of meant he lost concentration more than anything else. you can't be that deadbeat out on your feet if you come back and rally and outstay Whisper up the hill.
No.
So I think it was more to do with he was just wandering around and almost in a very sort of quirky nature, just taking his eye off the ball.
Also, Funnel of Euphoria sounds great. Sounds like a great place to go.
Yeah.
Who wins the King George then, if I ask you now? What would you put your money on?
Well, I backed Mike Bite at a huge price. I actually backed him...
This time last year?
Yeah, I backed him before he won the RSA. It was really odd because... it might come back to bite me in the backside, but I didn't fancy him for the RSA because I thought he might not get home.
Right.
So I didn't touch him at Cheltenham, watched him win, but then had a really juicy anti-post ticket thinking that if he does win, it's a double bubble. And I've watched his price contract all the way through, so if he wins, happy days. If not, I'd love to see Bristol and May win because I've been a fully paid up member of his fan club for a long, long time. And if it was genuinely soft and testing...
Yeah.
I think he'd appreciate it the most of the front end of the market, and even including Mike Bite.
He wants it hock deep, doesn't he? Heavier the better. If this wasn't heavy ground on a haydock, he'd be 1-2, wouldn't he?
Well, there's a chance it will be. You know that at the moment, if they ran it today, it'd probably be soft ground. And if we get a mild period, which we look like having,
yeah,
and a little bit more rain on top of it, he certainly won't be stopping anyway. He'll keep galloping all the way. He's done some incredibly good times. The only thing is, all his best forms going left-handed.
Yeah.
He has run well right-handed. You know, he sand down Henry VIII run a couple of years ago when he was runner-up that day to Al Madd. Suggested he'd be fine going right-handed.
Yeah, okay. So let's move on from that. They're looking further afield from Boxing Day into the new year.
Yep.
We may see the return of Coney Gree post-Windup. Apparently they're thinking possibly getting back for the Cotswold Chase on Trials Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Coney Gree bounce back, but I'm not sure he's got it in him anymore.
I think sometimes you just have to be honest with yourself, don't you? And he's obviously creating a lot of column inches because he's a former Gold Cup winner, but I think we're really sort of clutching at straws now, hoping he's going to come back, when the evidence at the moment is suggesting very much that he is on the wane. Physically, he's obviously having to be patched up every time he runs.
Yeah.
It's got to take its toll. Clearly that effort when he was a novice winning the Gold Cup has, I'm not saying completely ruined him, but it took a lot out of him. And, you know, he's had physical problems. Now he's got wind issues. And mentally, that horse must be shot to bits. He's fallen. It's like, what else could go wrong? He's just not in a happy place at the moment. And he's certainly not in a place where, if you're a punter and you're looking to support him in any race, really, with any amount of confidence. And it would be lovely to see him come back, but my... gut instinct, and I think a lot of puns have got the instinct, is that he probably, we've seen the best of Coney Gray.
Yeah, unfortunately, so
sadly,
I think that's the case. Yeah. Good news for 2018 though, big prize money boost.
Yeah,
it's going to be about £8 million more in the fund for Jockey Club Racecourses. They're going to put in £4.2 million in themselves. I mean, not really much we can say, but more prize money should, in theory, be more competitive fields, better racing.
I just hope that the prize money gets spread out properly. Because we don't really need any more prize money at Royal Ascot, Glorious Goodwood, and, you know, the Ebor meeting at York, for instance, because the owners that have horses there are fairly wealthy anyway.
Mm.
If you can afford a Grade 1 horse, then you don't need to be given an extra 10 grand to win a race. Most owners don't even look at the prize money chart. It's the prestige they're after. So I'm hoping it goes to grassroots racing.
Yeah.
You know, the smaller tracks that haven't got the... kind of funds and money to attract the bigger, better horses. So if they get an extra 20, 30 grand a meeting, mm-hmm. then that will boost their attendance fees because you get better quality horses, more bigger fields,
yep.
and better betting revenue as well. So that's what I hope for, that money to be spread a little bit more wisely.
Yeah, well, I think that is the plan as well.
So yeah.
You mentioned grassroots. There's going to be grassroots support for smaller courses.
That's it.
And also... Sunday cards are going to be worth more to try and encourage Sunday racing to improve, which is a big, big thing that needs to happen, I think.
I hadn't read the article, but yeah, they're listening to me, what I'm saying.
Good. So hopefully that'll work out well. Final thing I want to mention just before we get stuck into Wednesday's racing. Frankel did it all on the race course. His first runner on a track as a sire was a winner.
Yep.
He's had his first runner over jumps on Tuesday.
Wow.
That went on to win as well. What can't this horse do?
I know. Who'd have thought it? A Catterick Novices Hurdle, solo saxophone. Is the horse with that tag. He made hard work of it, but the one thing he did show is lots of guts and stamina, and we seem to be seeing that stamina imparted on a lot of Frankel's offspring now. Mm. It was felt in the early days that they had a lot of precocity and they were looking, you know, headstrong and keen and almost wanting to do everything in a rush. And a lot of them were 5, 6 furlong, 7 furlong horses. But as time's gone on, a lot of them, like Nathaniel, who was his great rival at the time, have developed into middle distance horses. And you never know. Like, it'll be now we're looking towards who's going to be the first Cheltenham Festival winner in with the name Frankel next to it.
Yeah.
Probably won't be Solar Saxophone, but no. he's likely to, he's likely to start a trend.
Yes. Yeah. See if it works.
With JP McManus will probably be licking his lips further down the line, won't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go, Frankel. And who would have thought he'd have a 100% record as a national hunt?
Unbelievable.
Who would have thought it? Anyway, that's just a little bit of fun. Good stuff from that. Let's move on to Wednesday's action, though. We've got a decent card at Newbury and also jumping at Ludlow as well, which is... decent enough. We've got Andy's picks in two races. It's a nap and next best, if you will.
Yeah.
He's gone to Ludlow. You've gone to Ludlow. He's gone. You sat right next to me. You've gone to Ludlow for the 12.50 to start with. Novices chase over 2.5 miles. We've got a field of 8. What made you pick this race?
Because I'm looking at the prices here. I was going to make this my nap. I'm not sure that I should make this my each way, but it's Shanro in Milan. I'll stick by my guns and make him my nap. He ran in a very good race first time out when he finished third in a good time figure race over hurdles. That was at Stratford behind one of Ben Paulin's called Lindenhall. And then he made his chasing debut at this track. And I think he would have won the other day. He raced off technically a mark of 118, but he was running way beyond his rating. When he was going best at the, I think it was the third last, unfortunately he unseated his rider when I thought he got the was getting the better of Rocklander. Now Rocklander stayed on his feet and went on to post a time figure which suggested if Shanmo in Milan had stayed on his feet, he would have run to an incredibly high standard first time out. Basically, he would have almost beaten a 140 rated horse.
Right.
I wish this was a handicap because he can't beat Burbank and one or two others who've obviously been plying their trade in much better races, but it's all about jumping, and up until that unseat, he jumped absolutely fantastically. It was just one of those clumsy errors more than a bad blunder. But he's obviously very useful, this horse. He's got good cruising speed. The ground will suit, and he's done it round the track. So if he is somewhere near the price of what is available on the Sporting Life website, then we're going to get a nice price about Shanro in Milan, providing all 8 runners go to post.
Mm. So on each way...
I'd probably go each way with him now I'd seen that rather than nap.
Okay. Well, it is only a tissue, so it might be completely wrong. But,
To be fair, both of my two horses are going to be each way prices. Yeah. It's hard to say they're definite standout nap materials.
Okay. So a nice each way bet on Shanro in Milan then. And the other race that you picked out is the 3.15 at Newbury. National Hunt Novices Hurdle, this one, 2.5 miles. Well, the extended 2.5 miles is the trip. Go on then, which one is the each way angle in this race?
Well, I presume that the likes of Mr. Whipped and Melrose Boy will be vying for favouritism here without seeing the tissue. Wartok, perhaps another one. But the one I quite like here is Ben Paulin's Go With The Flow. A point-to-point winner who ran first time out at Chepstow. He was well fancied that day and he ran a Herculean race trying to make all the running. He looked as though he got the race in safekeeping, but having jumped the last, he drifted left under pressure, almost drifted onto the chase course and handed the advantage to a horse called Choose Your Weapon, who went on to defy a penalty when going back to the same track next time out. The fifth horse, Mr. Malarkey, won at a big price at Kempton next time out. The time figure of this race was really good. I actually spoke to Ben after the race and I said, your fella ran in a really good heat, you know, and he was the one responsible for producing that good speed figure. I'd imagine that he's been taken here for the galloping nature of the course. He'll make the run in and he will certainly make sure that this race is run at a true pace. Again, I don't know what price he's on the tissue. 7-2. So he's probably more the like the nap material, given his likely price is going to be in and around the 7-1, 7-2, 4-1 mark. But he's a talented horse, and I'm certainly going to be looking towards him to follow him for the rest of his career.
Okay, Go With The Flow in the 3.15 at Newbury, then along with Shanro in Milan in the 12.50 at Ludlow. Those are Andy's best bets for Wednesday. Been a pleasure, Andy. I'm presuming we'll see you before Christmas.
No, that's it now. I'm back in on January. Obviously, I'll be doing my podcast regularly from Dundalk. We've actually got 2 Dundalk fixes this week, Thursday and Friday, which is a bit of a bonus.
So you will... Early Christmas present for you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Gift wrapped as ever. And yeah, that'll be it. Yeah, but yeah, the podcast will still be going, so unfortunately you can't get rid of me completely. But happy Christmas to everyone who tunes into the podcast, and happy new year.
Yeah, and to yourself.
Greetings.
Happy Christmas and a happy new year.
Awesome, mate. Yeah, been a pleasure.
That's Andy Holding's thoughts on Wednesday's action then, and you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:30 a.m. Darren Owen, Ross Briley and John Babb in the studio, Lingfield, Ludlow and Newbury in the afternoon, and Kempton in the evening. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.